Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. Today I'm talking to Lisa DePasquale. She is an author and columnist. You can find her on Instagram or Twitter at Lisa Depp. Lisa DePasquale, welcome to American Glutton Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Thanks so much for doing this. By the way, we have chatted a lot. We've done a lot of texting, but we've never actually talked before. This is fun.
Yeah. And I've been binging on the podcast, on the videos. And I feel like I have talked to you because we've gone through so many similar things. I mean, I was watching the Will Sasso one today and I was just like, I'm not a weirdo. I'm not a weirdo Rain Man that calculates chairs that I need to fit in.
No, I think that's I still do that. I still get nervous about chairs and I still feel I'm rational to do so, you know, like, but I probably don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would say only in the last year did I stop traveling with my seatbelt extender on planes.
Yeah. Yeah. I owned one of those too. I think I bought one and then I stole one from a flight once. But that was a forever thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you probably first saw me with Michael Malice's podcast and, you know, I did that. And I think you had mentioned me that when you did it pretty soon after, and I was, you know, tickled that you even watched it. And so what I ended up doing is I signed my seatbelt extender to Michael and gave it to him.
Oh my God. That's amazing. By the way, he is a sicko who loves stuff and things.
Yeah, I know.
That's gotta be a prized possession of his, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to his house here, Simon, Texas, and I've asked him, you know, where it is, and he hasn't displayed it yet. But to be fair, the walls are still pretty empty. He has some more waiting to do.
It's a work in progress. Yeah, but that should be framed and up on a wall for sure.
Like a before and after photo.
Yeah, exactly. What has your relationship with your weight been like? Can we start that off? Because you've gone through a radical transformation.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I joke that the last time I was, an average weight or a good weight was when I was born, because I was born a month early. So I was a preemie. And it's funny because there have been studies showing that preemies tend to be overweight, because for the early part of your life, it's like eat, 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 you know, on top of being, you know, Italian and Southern, right? And probably around age 4 was when I went over the line and really became, you know, a chubby girl. And it's, you know, I've never dipped into a normal range, but, you know, I've gone to like fat day camps. I've tried different things. You know, I remember, I want to say maybe when I was 6 or 7, I lived in Tallahassee, Florida, and the local university, I think they had put like an ad for a clinical trial. It was like some kind of nutritional cookie. And so my mom signed me up for that. And I did that for a little while.
And was it just, you just add this cookie to your diet and that's supposed to change everything?
Instead of anything else, you know, just like anything else. And, you know, I think you were allowed to put peanut butter on it. So obviously I did that. and then it was just, you know, through middle school, high school was when I did like the day camp thing where it was, you know, giving you like B12 shots and eating a lot less, kind of similar to, you know, I think Will Sasso talked about something similar where it was kind of like a placebo, like it's not the liquid, it's that you vastly, you know, cut your calories. And so I think that's probably the most normal I got was senior year in high school. I weighed under 200. I don't really remember the weights, probably like 170. But as close to normal as I had ever been. And then, you know, I got the freedom of college and then the freedom of having a salary job. And that's when it was just, you know, out of control and just kept gaining. And my highest was 320.
Wow. And was when you go back through your childhood, were these things that you were interested in, or were they things that your parents were just going like, here's what we're going to do now?
No, I mean, my parents were divorced, so it definitely wasn't like a talk, but my mother and my sister were both normal. And so there was kind of like an issue. And I think, you know, they definitely, you know, wanted to, both my parents wanted to help me, but kind of like weren't really sure. I mean, they, you know, were boomers. So it's kind of like they grew up with the pyramid and, you know, a blueberry muffin's a healthy breakfast because it's, you know, wheat and fruit, right? And I think they were kind of like at a loss. And part of it also is, you know, I'm super sneaky. I mean, they could see what I was eating in front of them. And, you know, whether it was going to like a friend's house or just kind of what I probably thought was covertly, you know, eating some amount to always, you know, leave something left in the box or something like that. You know, I think part of them weren't really sure.
Yeah.
Coming from, you know, if it was big boned or this is just like the way I'm made.
Yeah. I mean,
Mom, I'm like 5'4".
I remember being put on diets, lots and lots of diets as a kid. And really like you say, sneaky. I just remember feeling like this is something that's happening to me that I'm not a participant in, and I'm going to kind of do whatever I want. I just can't do it in view of my parents and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I still have the same mindset now. Like when I call my common-law husband, when he goes, you know, out to get something, the first thing in my head was, if you want a snack, now's the time.
Right.
When I'm alone in the house.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I like, you know, I'm sober and you can't be abstinent from food. I wish you could, not really, but like the, some of my guardrails are literally like, okay, I don't eat when my wife is out, or if I do, I gotta be real careful that I'm not doing that I'm not being sneaky, because that's my instinct too. is like, mm-hmm. I'm alone. I can do whatever I want. I can order a pizza.
They don't do it.
Yeah.
And what sucks is like, he's a fit guy, and you know, he can keep something in the house. Like I remember visiting when he lived out in Arizona, when I was out there, I had bought those Tate's cookies. And then I went out there 2 months later and the bag's still there. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You freak. You know?
Yeah. That's a one night thing. These were supposed to be gone the next day.
Yeah. So it's like, we keep stuff in the house. I'm definitely better at it. And especially because I've had, you know, various surgeries. You know, I don't, even though I, you know, could do that, I just don't. And I'm getting a little better, or I wouldn't say a little better, obviously a lot better at being able to do that. And part of it, you know, helps that I'm with, you know, a healthy person. And I think even though my parents may not have struggled and my sister may not have struggled, there were still some unhealthy habits. Like I remember on Halloween, you know, the instinct from my mom was, you know, just eat it all tonight and then we'll get rid of it.
Right.
So that's kind of like the instinct that I had. It's like, eat it now because tomorrow it's going to be gone. Like right. You're not going to get it, you know?
Yeah, they'll take it away.
Both ways. Like on one hand, she doesn't want me eating candy for 2 weeks straight, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, don't eat one little candy every day for 2 weeks. Eat 20 right now.
Get sick and then, you know, it's done.
Yeah, exactly. That's wild. Yeah, I remember being put on a diet and then being rewarded with a week of dieting with a trip to the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. And it was, and I hadn't actually dieted. It was just what they saw me eat, perceived as being on a diet. Oh man,
I don't remember it not being, I mean, my memories are, you know, I don't go back as far as, you know, 3 or something and not being on a diet. So, and it wasn't like necessarily a prescribed diet, but just like something about, you know, I'm on, you know, I have to watch what I eat and that sort of thing. And, you know, I remember early on, I would say, I mean, at least say 4th or 5th grade when my weight became more than my mom's. I'm less today as of like a week or so ago than I was in 5th grade.
Wow. That's incredible. That's amazing. Yeah.
You're only a little bit taller. So, you know, it's not that impressive, but.
I mean, I know it's pretty fucking impressive though. It's pretty great. Yeah. I mean, that's something you should pat yourself on the back for that.
Yeah.
Did they put you on any really weird diets? You were in Florida. So I don't know if they got super weird out there. Los Angeles got weird.
I was trying to think of like the weird diets. I remember Fit for Life. We had like listened to the audio tape one time, like driving down to the beach or something. So it wasn't weird. It was more just like that was, I think they were, the Fit for Life was big on fruit and vegetables. I didn't do anything weird like the cabbage diet. And part of that was probably, you know, they did have some sense that, you know, I was a child. The cookies, you know, just the like protein bars, that was the high school one. But I don't really remember anything weird. Slim Fast shakes, you know, 80s stuff. Or, you know, I think it was like, what, two meal replacements or something and a regular meal.
Yeah, sensible. It had to be a sensible
meal. Sensible, yeah, sensible diet. But, you know, even now we know liquid just does not give you the full sensation. Like,
right.
Just straight, and Slim Fast was not even like, I don't even think particularly high protein. They might be changing by now, but you know, there's just so much also that what was perceived as being on a diet, like having snack wells. So I hope it's not bad that I'm calling out all these companies. I'm just trying to think of examples. You know, we know what they did to make things low fat, which now we know is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the trade-off of fat for sugar and it's they've done a lot of weird things with food. I was put once on some kind of a diet where I was given it like electrified water and told just to drink a cap full of that water before I ate anything. It did absolutely nothing. But like, and I recently saw a guy, again, I don't want to call anybody up, but a fairly big popular guy on Instagram who was showing like doing something with a metal rod in water to change the water's pH balance and ions. Yeah, change the ions or something. And I literally was like, had flashbacks of me as a little kid with this water where it's like, that's not going to make you lose weight. Like, this is not a solution to anything.
Yeah. And that actually, speaking of flashbacks, I remember, I was at a friend's house and, I would go and I would steal her mom's Dexatrim.
Oh, wow.
My mom saw it and I said they were giving away free samples at the grocery store.
That can work. I was put on Fen-Phen when I was very young. And after like a week of not sleeping at all, I was taken off of it. But that I do remember not having an appetite while I was on it.
Yeah. And then as an adult, it was like the sky's the limit. You know, I did the hydroxy cut. Well, it was the bad one, but the one that worked. And and then, you know, I started looking at surgical options.
Yeah. Is that what you did? You did what did you do?
Yeah. So in 2009 was when I had reached 320. And, you know, I was thinking what's kind of unique about the two of us is both of us, you know, despite people saying in our industries, you have to look a certain way, but both of us kind of reached like really good success at, you know, our highest weight. So it kind of like went against the grain. And so in 2009, I was running this big conference called CPAC. And as the head of it, one of the things that I did was introduce the final speaker, who happened to be Rush Limbaugh. And there we are, both on stage in black because it's slimming. And we were the same size. You know, I'm a 20 something, might have been 30 something year old girl. 32. And we looked the same size. And as you can imagine, you know, the hate mail that I got was just like off the charts from everybody, you know, even from, I mean, sometimes I think conservatives are worse when it comes to that sort of thing. And, you know, I'm supposed to be on their side. And that's when I looked into the lap band. And so I didn't want to do the gastric bypass because I thought that was like too permanent. And it kind of freaked me out that, you know, it was like major cutting and all that kind of stuff. And so I got the lap band. And I lost, I think, about 70 pounds. So I think the lowest I got was maybe 250. And then just like everything else, I mean, you kind of find a way to cheat around it. And, you know, they started calling the lap band the milkshake diet because you can, you know, drink a milkshake, you know, an 800 calorie milkshake, no problem. But, you know, you really got to try hard to chew some grilled chicken, you know.
Right.
And then I got back up eventually to the weight that I was at by 2018. So 9 years. And by that point, you know, I wasn't filling the lap band like what you're supposed to do. It's basically like an inner tube that goes around your esophagus. And when you fill it with liquid through this port, it makes it tighter.
So there's a permanent port or a temporary permanent port?
Yeah, it's a port that's like kind of by your belly button. And then the band thing is like by your on your esophagus. And so they just go in with a syringe into the port and just put in a little bit of liquid to tighten it up. And that's supposed to, it makes your esophagus like down to the size of like a straw. So you can really just get liquid through. So you really have to chew real food. And there's lots of like cheater foods. I mean, crackers, potato chips, you know, anything that you can get like really, really small, which unfortunately is generally not healthy food.
Right.
You know, I mean, I hadn't had, I don't even know when I had had a, you know, a steak or something. And so in 2018, by the time I had started to gain almost 320, I don't think I had gotten quite to 320. I went to get a fill and the doctor, it was a different doctor. And he said, you know, no one is really doing lap band surgery anymore. And I kind of knew on some level, because I had seen lots of, you know, famous people that have gotten that surgery. And that's also something I feel bad that I kind of keep in my head when it seems like cheating. There are plenty of people that have gotten surgery and not, you know, been able to maintain or get to a goal weight. And so yeah. At that point, he said the RNY was kind of the gastric bypass was like the gold standard. And, you know, it had been around, I think, since like the 70s. And, you know, in my head, you know, because I was in my 40s by then. And, you know, I was starting to see high blood pressures, like major swelling in my feet. You know, I wasn't a kid that could grow out of it anymore, like 20s or 30s, where, you know, maybe you are healthy at any size and your blood work comes back great, right? And at that point, I just, even though I was still kind of scared about the surgery, really the only thought in my head was, if something happens to me during the surgery or immediately after, my family will know I did like the ultimate thing, you know?
Right.
So that way they won't feel guilty or anything. They'll just know, well, at least, you know, she did the ultimate thing she could have done, you know? And I thought, well, at least I could leave them. I could leave the earth and leave them with that.
Right. That you were making that attempt. That's heartbreaking.
But yeah, I had a good.
You had a good outcome. Yes, thank God, right?
I don't know if I've ever mentioned that to them, so you know, hopefully they won't feel that. And there's no reason they should feel guilty, obviously. But yeah, so in 2018, I did the RNY, and you know, since then have kind of steadily gone down. I didn't get, you know, the pandemic 15 or anything like that.
Is it a rough surgery?
No, I mean, you're not compared to the ones I just had, but it's still laparoscopic. You know, you still have to follow. It's kind of nice because your system is, you know, been they remove like 2/3 of your stomach and make its own little pouch, and then remove, I think, around the same as your the same of that, like 2/3, say, of your small intestines. So the thing that appealed to me about it that was different than, oh, and they removed all the lap band stuff, so I don't have like that port or anything anymore. So like I lost like a quick like 2 or 3 ounces immediately, and then whatever small intestines weigh. But because it takes that so much of your small intestines out, they when you eat sugar or for some people carbs and like anything like super high fat, it goes into your system faster, and they call it, it's like the worst name ever, they call it dumping syndrome. And so that's like the sugar dumping, and you get nauseous, and I don't like the feeling. Some people, you know, persevere and still, you know, eat whatever. I would say I could probably eat maybe 2 or 3 small bites of ice cream without having that, but probably a quarter cup or half a cup, then I would get it.
Right.
That appealed to me because you know, even though I knew just from the lab band that, you know, I had the will to keep going if I felt bad, I like that it was really a permanent thing. And then just over the last 5 or so years since doing that, when I've reached a plateau, you know, I would try other things, or not try, but I would add other things to the mix, like doing daily exercise. You know, a year and a half ago, I hired a personal trainer, and actually it's a great setup because she used to be my boss and then became a personal trainer, so like I don't feel like I can get away with like I'm paying you, so I'm not able to show up today. I mean, to
That's
me
awesome.
it's akin to not showing up for work.
No, I've had personal trainers, and I noticed that my in the beginning, my kind of my MO would be like try to get them talking as soon as possible, because then you're doing less work if you get them. And you could find chatty trainers, and it's super counterintuitive, but I so fought tooth and nail going to the gym. When I started going, I just didn't want to be there at all.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't, I mean, I hate to say, I'm not sure if I'll ever be, you know, a workout person. Like, it's not something I crave. You know, now I'm going on 5 weeks not having done any physical activity, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get back in the gym. I can't wait to be able to move normal. But yeah, I'm just never gonna be, you know, that type of person, like my husband, who, you know, misses doing free weights and stuff. And you know, for me, I have to make it easy as possible. We have a closed in dining room, you know, with a door, And ironically, we made our dining room the gym. So it's got the gym floor, the free weights, and everything, a TV, everything you could want. And I can't say, well, I don't feel like driving over. It's two steps away.
Right. Was there anything you had to get him on board with? Because I know that my wife is super supportive of me, but there are times where I have to go like, hey, I'm really trying to be super strict right now. Can you keep even the halo top out of the house? Have you had to have those types of conversations with him, and how did those go?
I don't think we've had to have it. I mean, sometimes he'll bring it because I do. I mean, I like buying. I'm a good baker. Like I mentioned, I'm Southern and Italian, so I'm obviously a good cook. I like baking, and when we got together and moved out here, but I put on about 15 or 20 pounds when he moved here, and part of that was using him being here as an excuse, like baking and making meals and having I wouldn't say larger portions, but stuff that I wouldn't normally have had. And he would say, you don't have to make this, because by himself, I mean, he's not going to eat a whole cake before it goes bad necessarily. And I mean, he's been very supportive of that. He's known me, or we've known each other when I was at my heaviest. We haven't been together except for the last 2 years. So yeah, I mean, he like won the lottery. He got like a fat girl personality and the current girlfriend. But yeah, he's been really supportive. He doesn't he's not like a big, I mean, I say he's not a big sweet eater, but we do have stuff in the house. I mean, for Valentine's Day, I got him these luxury cookies called the Last Crumb. They're like $150 for 12 cookies.
Jesus.
I know, they're really good. I think they're based in LA. But I'm also trying to get to a place where I'm like my normal. So he has the cookie, I'll try a bite, and I actually am satisfied with the bite.
Right.
And that's what I want to be. I want to be a normal person, not someone that's always on a diet. I think I mentioned to you in DMs, like I kind of don't know what maintenance is, because I've changed my goals so often that I'm like right now I'm below my initial like fake goal, like the goal that I said I should be, like when they asked me, I'm below that now. So obviously this isn't my goal, so it's like I could have a new goal. And just as I strayed from that, when I got back to in the 200, the low 200s, like 201, that's when I hired got the personal trainer, and was like, okay, I feel like, I mean, aside from having the extra food, I need to start adding weight training, not even just because of weight loss, but closing in on 50, and being a woman, I just need to add more muscle, because just yoga isn't doing it.
No, resistance training is super helpful for that. I mean, it's really the only way to do it.
Well, and to me, I kind of rationalized, which is true, is that if I have more muscle, then I'm burning more calories just, at re at rest.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That's a
And
fact.
less work.
Are you able to eat enough protein?
Probably not for what they would say. As I've been healing from my last surgery, I've been having more shakes, just mostly because some, at the very beginning, I just didn't really even feel like eating. I try to get there. I eat protein first. If I'm having a salad, I might pick through the protein first.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's good. I think little habits like that are good to get the protein in. But like for sure, I know when I had surgery to remove skin, my doctor was like, eat a lot of protein. And that was before I even was thinking about protein, really. I was just at that point in my life demonizing carbs. So I tried to eat a lot of protein, but now with anything with muscle, its protein is super important.
I mean, I'm sure when I try to use like a tracker and track it, like generally my goal is 80. It's very rare to get there without having help like a shake where you can just get like a quick 25 grams.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I have trouble doing it without shakes too. You know, otherwise I'm just sitting and eating chicken breasts or eggs, egg whites, which are so boring.
I don't like eggs. That's the worst.
Yeah. And those are super packed with protein. And
Yep.
you know, I can have some egg whites for breakfast, but I don't want to be pouring that into my lunch and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I tried carnivore, just because I have friends that do it, and I am a Joe Rogan fan. I tried it for like a month, and I think I lost some weight. That wasn't kind of the point of it, but it definitely cuts out snacking because you don't want to snack on pieces of chicken or steak. I mean, even if it was like filet, like that's not a snack.
No, I want something crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a
No
snack.
matter what they say, none of the quest or whatever are really that good. The only thing that I thought was better than all that is I would just like bake, straight up Parmesan cheese. That was
Yeah.
like good as it can get, and it has a lot less chemicals and stuff, but that was the only thing that really came close. And that's diet, it's so expensive.
This is not carnivore at all, but there's a company called Legendary Foods.
Oh yeah.
I think those Pop-Tarts are amazing, and they've got 20 grams of protein in them.
I was gonna say I tried them and thought I was gonna hurl.
You did? Yeah, no, my kids
It's
hate them too. But I haven't eaten a Pop-Tart in.
lower, as that stuff. Like you might try the Quest Doritos and you're like, oh, this isn't bad. And then you try a real Dorito and you're like, well, oh my God.
Yeah, what is that other stuff? No, I'm so excited. Legendary Foods now is doing chips, and I like the Pop-Tarts so much. I can't wait to try the chips. I'm like giddy
Well,
about
they
it.
had cinnamon buns, but what I really liked from them was they did like nut butters and mixed nuts or
Yeah.
almonds or something with like some kind of flavoring on it that I thought were pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's snacking is tough. Snacking is tough on any diet, I think.
Yeah. And well, and the problem with the nuts is, I mean, they're just so dense, like calorically, that I kind of just got away from doing nuts because I kind of thought, well, what was I snack? What were my healthy snacks when I was gaining weight? And it tended to be those types of things.
Yeah.
Versus now, like my healthy snacks, when I'm not gaining weight and when I'm losing, is like a string cheese.
Right. When did skin become an issue for you?
I would say probably like a year or two ago. I mean, part of it is you don't really know. No, more than that, 2 years ago at least, because that's when I had, I think, my consultation with the surgeon. And it's kind of hard to know like what is skin and what is still fat,
Yeah.
but it became more apparent because of my age and it being wrinkled and that kind of crepiness, like, okay, this is skin here. And I remember particularly when I was with my trainer one time, I do it over Zoom, and I was doing mountain climbers, and the noise of my legs hitting my stomach or my stomach going up, I like literally just started crying like while I was doing it. Like thankfully I was sweating, so she wouldn't have noticed, but I just remember hearing that noise. And then also not being comfortable, not being fully clothed while working out all the time. I just and reaching what I thought at the time was a goal, but like I would still, it was not an option to me that I would ever wear anything sleeveless or wear a shirt tucked in. And that those still weren't options in my mind, I think were probably the biggest motivators because I functionally I felt the same. Like I was still dressing the same. I would wear tops that went below my belly, and would wear long sleeves all the time. I was kind of like, aside from the health benefits, obviously, what is it for? So, I mean, I hate that it was so aesthetic, but that noise also it's just like burned into my brain.
No, but I think too, like, and tell me if you experienced any of this. It is really difficult to have some idea of a goal or be working towards something and then arrive in the area, but it be so not
Yeah.
ideal.
And then you just kind of think, I mean, you definitely go through a period of, never feeling like you're going to be what you're reaching for. But the thing that I think discourages people, and I hate to hear it, is when people say they don't want to lose a lot of weight because of loose skin, or then don't want to get skin removal surgery because of the scars. And it's just like, I mean, I get the scar part, if people don't care about loose skin, that's fine. But that you don't want to lose weight because of the loose skin, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So it always just kind of come back to that and be like, well, I'd rather be like this than be what I was before.
Yeah, no, me too, 100%. I utterly empathize with that idea because my skin was such a hindrance, and it was at a time in my life where I was still chasing, like, I don't want to say counterproductive, but ideas that weren't based solely in truth, in objective truth, like carbohydrates are evil and they are what. They were the only thing that was causing me to be fat was carbohydrates. And then, so when it came to the skin, I was under the belief for a while that it would tighten up. And then, I was under the belief that buying really expensive red lights would make it go away and getting mineral wraps would make it go away. And yeah, like, and none of that is going to make, a lot of excess skin go away. It's just not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably it depends on the time that stretching, because I know women that get pregnant. Even if they gain maybe more than they should, it can go back. But, largely that's age that, they weren't overweight for 40 years. They were only overweight for 9 months. Those types of things, it might work, but for long haulers like us, it just doesn't work.
Yeah. No, 100%.
You kind of have the guilt that, I mean, I had immediate guilt after getting skin removal surgery. That, on bad days that I had let myself get to the point that I felt like I needed it.
Right. I mean, no, I look at my body all the time and think, what have I done to you? Like, there's a universe where I should be thinking of my body as this gift of life, right? That I'm a miracle of the trillions of sperms and eggs that were going to come into contact. I got one, right? It is somehow like very against the odds that any of us exist. And then I deformed myself and didn't respect myself, And by the way, I got loose skin surgery and then gained weight. I don't even think I might have had some residual loose skin anyway, but I got more because of my weight gain. And like, even that haunts me. But like, I think also we can't, be too hung up on the past. We're here today, and this is where we are, and all we can do is put our best foot.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious, frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high-protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Forward.
Yeah, I mean, when I was listening to your episode with Will Sasso, I accidentally heard your story. But I feel like I'm 5 weeks out today, so I think I'm past your point of like day one messing up.
Oh my God. Mine was a total disaster.
I mean, I still have some issues, but nothing, you know, abnormal. And then I'm supposedly 1 week away from not having to wear the compression garments for 18 hours a day. I think there's kind of like some comfort in it. So I imagine I'll still wear them a little bit, but I mean, I do enjoy the breaks. I usually keep my arm ones on because that feels really good. But I took them off. I took them off for the podcast.
Okay. Where did you have skin removed from?
So from my arms, I can't believe I'm showing this. And anybody that is thinking of this, keep in mind, I'm very early. It's not going to be red, all of that. So I had both arms. I had the fleur de lis straight up and then a 360 all the way around where they kind of, you know, saw you in half, I assume, and draw everything together. And so I still have some other stuff on my list that I'll probably get maybe around the same time next year, like thighs and chest lift or something. But, you know, it was very important to me as like a Dave Ramsey person that I pay cash for everything. Like, I'm not going to finance something like this, especially like, what if I gain weight, right? That would be a tough check to write every month.
Oh my God, yeah.
So, you know, and I know like that's like, I mean, I'm a conservative saying this, that's tremendous privilege to be able to, you know, to do that. So that I also think has helped me want to, you know, stay on the right path. But the results actually ended up being not what I was expecting. Like, you know, he had said about my surgeon had said about the arms, like how tight they were. He was like, I don't know what got into me that day. But I kind of thought that they would, you know, I would still see something there. And I'm also still swollen in lots of places. So I don't know if this is the final result, but, you know, I've worn yoga pants outside the house with a short shirt. And
does that feel like a miracle?
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to work out in just like normal workout clothes and not be, you know, like pulling up my t-shirt and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I also realized like I have no clothes because you don't want to wear that stuff. And I kind of didn't realize how many inches the waist stuff would take off. I mean, I was trying on some jeans today and they're just like unwearable. I said to Brett that like this, you know, this could be a different before picture.
Right.
I'm wearing these jeans, you know, 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, the skin around your waist, it all kind of hangs down to that point. It could add many inches to your circumference there.
Yeah, they ended up taking 13 pounds of skin off total from like arms and stomach. And I, because of my other surgeries, I was prepared for, you know, being bloated and not coming home and weighing 13 pounds less. So it, to me, it was like it was a real victory to finally be 13 pounds less than, you know, the day that I went into surgery.
Right. And you were at what you estimated a goal weight at the time.
My goal, when I had the consultation, I was around 200, and I kind of went to see, maybe this is my body. I do, you know, lift weights to some extent. And I kind of wanted confirmation, like, am I ready? Cause I see loose skin, but I'm not really sure, you know, what else there is. And, you know, they kind of said, well, yes, if you don't plan on losing, you know, a bunch of weight after surgery, then it would be time to do it. So I took the year and did more personal training, got back on track. Not that I was, you know, severely off, and I needed to save the money. And in that time period, I had lost like between 25 and 30 pounds. So I was kind of like glad that I didn't end up losing it, because it was that situation where I don't know what my lowest is. And so when I went in for surgery, I was at 168. And so today, I can't believe I'm even saying this, mostly because not even the number, but that I'm sharing my weight, I'm at 153.
Wow.
So I've lost, since the highest, like 167 pounds. So I've crossed that path of, you know, losing more than I weigh. And then with my bariatric surgeon, because, you know, originally my goal was 175, like that was, I thought was the goal that I should say, cause it was realistic. Then it was 155. And so now I'm below that. And now my goal is 145, which seems ridiculous, but then I also think that's 8 pounds away.
Right.
That can't be the goal.
Well, I mean, you know, the other thing is there's probably no harm in hanging out where you're at now for a while and then losing 8 pounds, you know, if you want to.
Well, yeah. And at some point I want to get one of those DEXA scans just to kind of like have the stats, you know,
right.
You know, particularly because, you know, I assume I've lost muscle over this 5 weeks and however long it lasts until I can do a normal workout. And then, you know, there's some that will probably come off from my thighs. And then I joke, like, at some point I'll add, if you know what I mean. So I want to really make sure I'm below my goal before I add.
Right. You don't want it to jump up inadvertently.
Yep. So, you know, well, I guess I'll see, you know, how it is. But yeah, I mean, I feel like over the next year, it's also kind of that thing, knowing that I want to do other surgeries. I mean, I kind of also feel like, well, maybe I'm not at the point where I should buy clothes yet. And, you know, that kind of thing. So I kind of still feel like I'm in a holding pattern a little bit, but I think I need to loosen up on that type of stuff. You know, I'm not going to go out and buy expensive clothes, but, you know, buy the stuff that I want to try out. Like, my boyfriend gave me this shirt for Valentine's Day. To be clear, I don't have a boyfriend and a husband. I just kind of use them interchangeably.
I thoroughly understood.
It's a medium women's.
It's amazing. And Lisa, I really think you should for sure buy workout clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for my Lululemons to be loose in the waist. And it's so funny because whenever I think I hit like some milestone, like now, you know, when I had lost a good portion of the weight, like over 100, I went to Lululemon because I thought, well, this is where, you know, the thin people get their clothes. Well, now they have plus sizes. So it's like, it's not even that big of a deal. But I think wearing a shirt tucked in will be a big milestone and kind of like one of the things that I want to do when I get to whatever goal, like say 145, I want to buy like one of those expensive, stupid designer belts that like you have to show off or it's like a total waste of money.
Right. Right. And have the tucked in shirt and everything is revealed.
Yeah.
I still get a little bit it's not, I'm not angry about it, but like when I was a kid, I had to shop at big and tall man stores. Like there wasn't, you couldn't buy, you could, I don't even think you could buy extra large at a Target when I was a kid.
Yeah. They didn't even have a Target. I mean, you're probably my age. I'm 40.
Yeah. We're the same age. And yeah, there was like Kmart, Sears.
Yeah, you could get some extended sizes. I think like at Sears, like in the catalog. I don't think they right. had them in the store. I remember I would go to the Lane Bryant or those or adult clothes and, you know, look like an idiot because the pants would be like 6-8 inches too long. And, you know, thankfully my mom knew how to sew or she would sell me clothes.
Right. Yeah. And now you can get clothes at just about any store.
Yeah. And I like part of me, you know, I'm happy for the kids now that, you know, are going through the same things that I went through, that they have those options. So I'm not totally on the other side where I'm like, can you believe they're making this stuff for kids and encouraging obesity? Because sometimes like just to get through the day, what you need is, you know, the trendy shirt that the other girls are wearing. I mean, to me, it was shoes. Like I would want to have like, at the very least I could have the trendy shoes or purse or something.
Right.
You know, the accessories.
Yeah, no, when I was a teenager and skateboarding was super cool, all the skateboarders wore Dickies, which was like such a relief to me because Dickies went up to like insane sizes. I think I had a size 80 in Dickies pants once. But it made me feel like less of the, you know, I had to go to the big and tall man store to buy them, but I could get the same brand pants as the other kids.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky growing up in the 90s was when you could wrap the flannel around your, and that was like super sneaky, you know, with the little skinny flannel arms, like somehow those hid like my stomach or something.
Right. Yeah, totally.
I mean, you know, it was okay for girls to wear, you know, oversized things. And mostly I wore like boys or not boys, but men's shorts, you know, by waist size, I think maybe a 36. And then, you know, extra large or extra, extra large polo shirts.
Yeah. Okay. What was your experience with the skin removal surgery? Was it all fine?
So far it's been good. I mean, there's been a couple instances of like, I've only had one, like stitch kind of pop that needed to be resewn. And then there are a couple places that are, not healing as fast, just because of like lady time. One little area kind of popped right here that I'm kind of dealing with now, with antibiotics. But the funny thing is like the pain wise, the arms were far away worse than what I was expecting than the stomach.
I think a lot of the nerves in my stomach in that area got severed because I'm still a little bit numb in areas of my stomach. Do you have numbness?
There's some numbness. I mean, they encourage me to like, you know, feel go like this just to reactivate those nerves. I mean, there's still plenty of scabs around. The other thing that I kind of wasn't prepared for, because I had never had it on other surgeries, were the drains.
Yeah.
So like, God bless my boyfriend. He, you know, did the draining, and, you know, as they came out, like one by one, just other tasks like taking a shower became a lot easier, but I wasn't prepared for how much that would affect like my mood and how long normal things would take. Only this week did I start, taking a shower in the morning. You know, normally I would do it in the afternoon so I wouldn't have to be rushed and could have, you know, plenty of time to do all that stuff.
Did the arms require drains too?
The arms didn't. And actually, I am going back on Monday. There actually needs to be a place that has to be drained that's kind of like building up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, but I kind of noticed like this little ball, which is, I guess, goo.
Goo. Yeah. If anyone's confused about what we're talking about or doesn't know about the drains, and I would assume people who haven't done this have no idea about the drains. When you have skin removed, often they will leave literally a plastic tube in you that goes to like a little plastic ball that you compress, and it slowly pulls liquid out of the internal wounds.
It's, yeah. I mean, It's the body's amazing. That little thing is so amazing too, because it's like nothing, but it's just suction, and it somehow someone invented it. But
Yeah.
I had four total, and it was just for my abdomen. And that's the other thing, is like you think when you reach some milestone, like now I'm just down to one, that somehow everything's going to be better, or now I'm down to zero, like that I'm still having, issues with pain. I still sometimes, walk hunched over. I'm not that point yet. I get kind of really annoyed that, well, shouldn't I be normal by now? I mean, next week I reach the 6 week mark, which is supposed to be like normal activity. But I can't imagine that I'll be at normal activity. I mean, I guess it depends on what you define. I mean, to me, normal activity means working out, but I think they mean like going to the grocery store.
Yeah. Well, yes, and let me say, please, like that was my biggest problem. I had it sounds like you're doing great. Keep doing great. Take it easy. Take it slow. You don't need to rush normal activity and working out. It will all be fine.
Yeah, well, also it's really good timing because my trainer is pregnant and she's due like any day now. So, that won't be an option anyway.
Yeah.
I'll probably do more walking than I do. I mean, it's not like something magic in your body happens at 6 weeks. I mean, I'll see, how I feel. I mean, now, I'm tired at, 8:30 if I stand for, say 10 minutes to cook dinner. So that's obviously, I'm not at normal activity yet. And just because it happens to be 6 weeks next Thursday, I'm not going to persevere and, continue to make dinner.
Right, time to run a marathon.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Lisa, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's so great to be able to meet you via your podcast after, seeing you in so much stuff, and just it's really cool that, we were somehow brought together by Michael Malice of all people.
Of all people, but he's a secret sweetheart.
I know, like if only people knew the truth.
Yeah, he's a mush, that Michael
Yeah, I
Malice.
mean, he's been really supportive, and I'm sure you experienced the same. And it's hard because, he has his shtick during the podcast. I mean, like with me, he was eating the entire time.
Yeah.
I think he kept asking you like what your cheat food was or something like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't get it sometimes, but and I think then people think like he's being like super mean to me. I mean, some of it was a little much, because he clearly doesn't understand that we're not like rah, 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 like anytime we can, I mean, the
Right.
questions he asked, it's so different listening to y'all's conversation versus listening to you and Will Sasso's conversation, because like these are people that, speak the same language,
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. And I think, but it's like anything else, like this thing that you and I experienced, you can observe it and you can understand as much as possible by observing it, but like until you actually like ha have it experience it, it's just like I can't, my wife doesn't understand. My wife also doesn't understand what it is to be an alcoholic. Like you talked about your husband's bag of cookies. My wife will quite often like pour herself a glass of wine and not finish it. And it makes my skin crawl. Like I don't understand. Like I need her to finish the glass of wine. And she's like, I don't want to finish the glass of
Yeah, I
wine.
mean, it would be hell to pay if those luxury cookies don't get finished.
Right.
Mostly.
Yeah. I mean, those sound fantastic. Yeah, those wouldn't last, in my house when I was eating luxury cookies, those would last a night. They'd be gone. $150 worth of cookies gone.
Ridiculous. But Valentine's Day is when you can be ridiculous.
That's right. We're allowed.
Yeah.
Lisa, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed
Awesome.
talking to you.
Wanted to help
Oh,
me forget.
yes, let's do it. This is
Okay.
the prep deck. She has the prep deck. Let's pick
How do
the
we make
meat.
a lot of money? All right. So fit first we'll pick the protein, right?
Yep.
No lamb, no lamb, no lamb, no lamb. Whitefish.
Whitefish,
Easy.
easy. And by the way, I know whitefish is a thing, but it could also be you know, any like
mahi-mahi cod.
Yeah. We don't have to get so nitpicky.
Yeah. All right. Here's my carb. Lentils.
Lentils? That's a fun card. Do you hate lentils?
I don't dislike lentils. I like lentils. I don't have lentils right now. So this might have to be my Friday night meal.
Yeah, you can pick another card too.
Okay.
What's your veggie?
Let's see, my veggie. Hold on. I'm trying to keep them in order, but I don't need to do that. I'm repicking. No cabbage.
Okay. Fair.
Well, and I don't like it. Spinach.
Spinach. I mean, Lots of iron. Do you hate spinach too?
I don't like spinach.
You don't like spinach or cabbage. You sound like me.
Zucchini. I do.
All right. There we go.
Yeah, I'm Italian girl. I have to eat zucchini. So we got zucchini, legumes, fish. That's easy. I could do like some kind of stir fry, put the fish on top.
Yeah, that sounds like a great meal.
Aromatic. Spanish. Garlic, onions, peppers, tomato. That goes with.
Delicious.
Yeah. And then what's next? The flavor. I kind of want to go straight to the snack. Israeli.
I don't know if that will work with Spanish.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't choose all the flavors.
No, it's just the ideas.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like garlic, turmeric, or probably not turmeric, but garlic, you know, garlic is salt to me. Paprika, that goes with the Spanish.
With
sure.
Everything. Yeah. Fantastic.
Do a snack before I eat. Wrapped turkey breast. I love a roll up.
Nice.
All right. So we're having whitefish with legumes, garlic, onions, zucchini, and maybe some paprika and more garlic. That sounds good.
I love it. That does sound good. It made me hungry.
Now, this is really cool. You know, at first I was wondering if it was going to be like deal a meal where, you know, it says like the amount, but it's really just about getting out of your comfort zone, which is kind of my problem.
Yeah. You know, my wife, it really, I had a bunch of people ask me, this is deal a meal. It's not a diet. It's not a diet at all. It really is for people who diet a lot. And what happens for me when I diet a lot is I eat the same thing and then I get so sick of it and I don't know what to eat. And I made that, you know, mostly because my wife kept calling me while I was out of town going, what should I buy at the grocery store? You know, and what should I eat tonight? And I was like, here's a list of stuff. Eat any of this. And she said, how do I flavor it? And I said, here's a bunch of options, you know, but I think,
you know, doing Blue Apron, that kind of gives you ideas more for preparation,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's really too much for, you know, a half person like me and one normal person. But I found it really helpful at the very least just for, you know, even if I wasn't doing it the proper way, just like looking at different flavors, like the aromatic one, you kind of forget what's an aromatic. Why does restaurant food taste so good? It's because they're adding an element of each of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I know some of them aren't going to work. Like somebody wrote to me, like I tried tuna fish with Chinese spices and it didn't taste good. And I'm like, okay, well now, you know, that doesn't taste good. Don't make that again. You know, but to be honest with you, I think I could make a delicious Chinese flavored tuna fish salad.
Well, isn't tuna in sushi?
Yeah. But that's Japanese, Lisa. We have to know our different Asian cuisines.
I don't eat sushi. Well, I've had like the fake sushi or cooked sushi. I love it in Texas. What do you want from me? They have it at the HEB.
Right. Which I always think of as Heb.
I know. The HEB, they have, but they make sushi for Texans. Like you can buy sushi with pulled pork on top.
Really? Just yeah. Rice and pulled pork. That actually sounds pretty good.
It's like real sushi. Like it has the fish and stuff in it, but it has like pulled, or it might have like avocado, some kind of Southwest flavor, but it has fish and like pulled pork on top.
Wow.
And like others, I'll have to take a picture and send it to you.
Please do. Yeah, I want to see that. That sounds insane.
I've tried
it. I would try it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But still like rice averse.
You're still anti-rice.
Yeah, I mean, I like rice. Like my husband buys the big, you know, 20 pound brown rice and, you know, they make it in California and it does taste really good. It comes out creamy, like almost like risotto. But to me, I just can't get like that many carbs packed in. Like if I'm going to have a quarter cup of something, I don't want to waste my car. I'd rather have the one bite of the luxury cookie.
Right. Yeah.
And use my meal for something else.
For protein and veggies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
I'm still cheating after all these years.
and you, but you know what? You're doing it in a way that's working.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. It feels weird to say that. Like, I don't want to seem like full of myself, but that's what it kind of sucks. Like, I was so happy to be able to do this podcast because so much of my public stuff that I've done, you know, has been, you know, weighing 300 pounds. And, you know, I've been grateful that so many opportunities were given to me, you know, at that, to be able to be a commentator, to be able to write books and, you know, do media for them and, you know, all that stuff that I kind of thought would be out of reach for me. But, you know, there have been people like, you know, Greg Gutfeld, who have given me opportunities, you know, to be able to be there. Because at the very least, he thought I had some talent or were funny, was funny.
Right. Well, this has been lovely. I'm so happy for you. And I'm glad you got the surgery. And I know we talked before and I gave you all of my horror stories and I'm glad that didn't dissuade you from it. And I'm glad it was a success. Congratulations.
I didn't hear your horror stories beforehand. You just told me there was an incident and that you
right.
went after. And so when I was watching the Sasso podcast, I accidentally heard it. But then when you said after like the first day, then I was like, oh, I'm not worried about this happening to me.
Yeah, no. I mean, I had to have blood transfusions. It was awful. My experience was awful. And you know, I'm very glad I did it, but I don't think I could do my legs and I had no skin removed from them. So the fact that you got what you got done and are thinking about the next one, I'm just like, kudos to you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Well, I've heard the stomach is the hardest one. So I'm hoping like having that one out of the way, helps.
Yes. Well, there's no way they've got 13 pounds of skin on your legs to remove. Not possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. But if I find myself getting, not getting to that 145 quick enough, then maybe I'll age the thigh one.
Or again, get rid of the number. The number doesn't matter. You're such a rock star right now. What does it matter?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, like I said, I never even thought I would be in a medium size shirt. And like when he gave it to me yesterday, I was like, oh, I hope it doesn't hurt his feelings that it doesn't fit.
Right. Know? Yeah. I think that's been me with every article of clothing my wife has ever given me. And, but honestly, it's still a miracle if it fits. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of clothes that still don't fit. She's like, you're a large, right? Nope. Never been a large. Extra large at best.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm in medium land, at least in some things, but you know, sizing is so weird. There's also things, you know, I'm going to have to get rid of the fact that there might be a store where I am a large or maybe an extra large. And it right. doesn't, because I haven't changed, you know, if I'm staying the same, it's just weird sizing.
Yeah. No, 100%. I like, there's a brand I like that's made in Italy. And I think I'm a 3X in that because it's Italian sizing and they're all tiny, tiny little people, not mm-hmm. Italian Americans from the South. Italians from Italy are tiny little
Some
people.
Some Italian Americans from the South are tiny.
Yeah. But yeah. And that always makes me feel bad about myself, but it's like, I didn't get bigger to wear this shirt. The shirt is just small.
Yeah, that's like the horrible cheap stuff you can buy on like Amazon and Temu or something that, you know, has the Chinese sizing and, you know, a normal person could be like a 4X.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's not our fault. They're just small. All right, Lisa, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
And now for the Q&A.
Here is a question from Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
She says, I have a friend that has no idea the things she says and how they sound. She's never had a weight problem in her whole life, and I have always struggled. She points out that I look good when I've lost weight, but it's in this way that makes me feel a little weird. I don't know how to explain it. She just has a perfect body, one of those people, and she doesn't even try. How do you handle people like that who don't understand because they don't know the struggle?
Wow. I know those people. Fuck those people. You know, they're geared differently than we are. I think of people in certain ways as like of my tribe and outside of my tribe. And there are overlapping tribes, right? Like I have my family, and not all of the people in my family struggle with their weight. And so as far as the tribe of people who struggle with their weight go, not all of my family is within that tribe. But I do think like you can be friends with somebody who has no idea what you go through with this on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm a sober person who has had issues with drugs and alcohol, and my wife is not. And so she cannot fully understand what I'm dealing with drugs and alcohol, but she tries, and she's my wife. So she makes an effort. I don't know if your friend, if you're that close with them, that they need to even go that extra mile. But I could say that if this person, first of all, some people are just passive aggressive. So maybe she's passive aggressive. Who knows? And if she's not, then she should be receptive to, if she says something that hurts your feelings and you communicate with her about it, that she would try to not do that again. You know, I just think there are solutions for this. I think that if somebody is rooting for you and seeing that you, maybe she's aware that you're on a diet and rooting for you to be successful, and therefore maybe just wants to acknowledge that she can see it, or, you know, to help motivate you to continue. I do try to give people the benefit of the doubt. If they say something that I find hurtful or that strikes me in a certain way, I for sure am always going, why am I reacting in that way to what they said? Is there anything overtly wrong with what they said? And if not, look, I'm fucking sensitive about my weight. You could say 20 different things that probably have nothing to do with my weight that are going to make my attention go to my weight and make me feel a certain way. That's not on you. That's on me. If you're being a dick and trying to put my attention on my weight, then you're just a dick and I don't need to be friends with you. That's really how I look at that kind of situation. I would hope your friend is just being supportive. If they're passive aggressive and trying to make you feel like shit and belittle you, get rid of them. You don't need that friend. Those are my feelings about that.
Amazing advice. And as a girl who has a whole wide range of friends, some of whom I could say, you know, have said things that are just sort of unaware right? Like, because sometimes someone says something and they really truly just don't know that what they're saying is just not real for you, right? Like, that's real for them. But then there are friends that, yeah, there or people that I know or encounter that maybe are not, they are a little passive aggressive to a greater or lesser degree. And for me, not like she asked me, but I'm just going to say, I just don't talk to them about that kind of stuff. I keep them in like a certain compartment. Like, I can talk about this, this, and this, right? But I can't talk about that because they don't understand. They're going to say something that is going to upset me. You know what I mean? To the smallest degree sometimes, I just don't talk about it. And even I have one friend in particular I can think of who might make a comment like, wow, you look great. And it's like almost with a surprise, you know, and you could just go, thanks. And you just move on. And when I do get into it, even just a touch, yeah, I've been dying. Da, 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 I hate myself later. Like, oh, I wish I didn't talk to her about that. You know what I mean? So there's certain people that you could talk to about certain subjects and certain ones that just don't understand. So yeah, it's like you can brush it off and try to just don't even bring it up with those people. That's how I do it.
Yeah. I just saw Jamie Presley for the first time in years. Jamie Presley played Joy on My Name is Earl. Mm-hmm. And then we actually where I played her brother-in-law. And then we did another TV show, a full season of a TV show. I actually can't remember what it was called, but we did a full season of it and we played brother and sister. So I've worked with Jamie a lot and I knew her before My Name is Earl. Jamie Presley is like my sister. There's mm-hmm. and not a sister who has any spite towards her brother at all. She is only wants to support me and we love each other and we have a great relationship. I dieted for the entirety of My Name is Earl. I wasn't ever not on a diet. And there used to be a thing where like Friday nights, some food, special food would come. Sometimes it was an In-N-Out truck and the In-N-Out truck would come to set and they'd make everybody In-N-Out burgers, or it would be a taco truck with special kinds of tacos or a coffee truck or an ice cream truck or something fun always came. And from day one, Jamie Presley, who you hear about like girls in Hollywood and they like are super watchful of what they eat. And Jamie Presley's getting two double doubles at the In-N-Out truck. And I'm getting one double double with no bun, right? No sauce. And like, that's all I can eat. And she's crushing two double doubles and like loving it. And then like 3 hours later, wondering if the In-N-Out truck's still there so she can have a third. Like, she's that kind of person where she's got such a fucking athletic body. I'm sure she was a dancer. She's got muscle. She's not just real thin. She's healthy and she eats whatever the fuck she wants. At no point is her having this, wanting the third double double, a dig at me. But every time she wanted it, I would get a little bit like, that bitch can eat whatever she wants. And it would somehow hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? But she's not doing it to fuck with me. And then she got pregnant on My Name is Earl. And I was like, here we go. It was her first kid that she had. And I was like, well, now it's on. Now you're going to see what weight loss is like. And I swear to God, she popped that kid out. And like 2 weeks later, had her same body, had not gained an ounce of fat on top. Like, it was crazy. Her entire weight gain was a baby that once out, she was back at the gym eating double doubles. Like, and there could be things that she could say that I could feel a certain way about that's all in my head. It's got nothing to do with anything in her head, you know, or anything in her with her intention. It exists entirely within my head. So I have to be aware of like what's happening with me that I'm feeling that way. What's happening with you that you're feeling like your friend saying you look great means that you didn't look great at some other point. You know, I've had that with my wife where she tries on a dress. She says, what do you think of this dress? And I say, it looks great. Then she tries on another dress and she says, what do you think of this dress? And I go, oh, I love it. And she goes, oh, so you were lying about the last one? And I'm like, no, I wasn't fucking. Yeah, the last one looked great. I love this. They're not that different. I don't know what to say. Like, whatever's happening in her head to make her think that what I said this time means something else about last time. That's it. That's on us. That's got nothing to do with them. Unless your friend is a passive aggressive asshole and they're fucking with you. That could be real too. So I think it's probably somewhere in there and you got to really figure it out. I think your friend should be allowed to tell you you look great, especially if she's aware that you're on a diet and you've lost weight. They're just trying to support you and let you know that they recognize the success in what you're doing, which is, you know, hard. You're putting effort into something. Those are the ways I think about all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that. Well, guess what? This is the time where I remind you that if you have a question for Ethan, you can ask it. You can email us, hello@americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram @American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.